Chapter 15 of the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Instructions for Civilized Human Beings. And there's a summary at the beginning. This is the longest chapter in the seventh canto, so I'll read the summary, which will probably take half the class. It's a long summary. The summary of the 15th chapter is as follows. In the previous chapter, Sri Narada Muni proved the importance of the brahmana in society. Now in this chapter, he will show the differences between different grades of brahmanas. Among the brahmanas, some are householders and are mostly attached to fruitive activities or the betterment of social conditions. Above them, however, are brahmanas who are very much attracted by austerities and penances and who retired from family life. They are known as varnaprasthas. Other brahmanas are very much interested in studying the Vedas and explaining the purport of the Vedas to others. Such brahmanas are called brahmacharis. And still other brahmanas are interested in different types of yoga, especially bhakti yoga and jnana yoga. Such brahmanas are mostly sannyasis, members of the renounced order of life. As far as householders are concerned, they engage in different types of scriptural activities, especially in offering oblations to their forefathers and giving as charity to other brahmanas the paraphernalia engaged in such sacrifices. Generally, the charity is given to sannyasis, brahmanas, in the renounced order of life. If such a sannyasi is not available, the charity is given to brahmana householders engaged in fruitive activities. One should not make very elaborate arrangements to perform the shraddha ceremony of offering oblations to one's forefathers. The best process for the shraddha ceremony is to distribute Bhagavat prasad, the remnants of food that has been first offered to Krishna, and to all of one's forefathers and relatives. This makes a first-class shraddha ceremony. In the shraddha ceremony, there is no need to offer meat or to eat meat. Unnecessary killing of animals must be avoided. Those who are in the lower grades of society perform to sacrifices by killing animals, but one who is advanced in knowledge must avoid such unnecessary violence. Brahmanas should execute their regular duties in worshiping Lord Vishnu. Those who are advanced in knowledge of religious principles must avoid five kinds of irreligion, known as Vidharma, Paradharma, Dharmabhasa, Upadharma, and Chaladharma. So everyone has noted that? So we'll avoid those things. One must act according to the religious principles that suit his constitutional position. It is not that everyone must adhere to the same type of religion. A general principle is that a poor man should not unnecessarily endeavor for economic development. One who refrains from such endeavors but who engages in devotional service is most auspicious. What's that? The exact verse is, it's the introduction to the 15th chapter of the 7th canto. It's the summary of it. And we're up to the third paragraph. Fifth paragraph. Which begins with, one who is not satisfied with the mind must fall to degradation. So everyone's satisfied in their mind right now? I hope so. One must conquer lusty desires, anger, greed, fear, lamentation, illusion, fright, unnecessary talks on material subjects, violence, the four miseries of material existence, and the three material qualities. Watch out, especially for the three material qualities. They're everywhere. Very hard to avoid. That is the objective of human life. One who has no faith in the spiritual master, who is identical with Sri Krishna, cannot get any benefit from reading Shastra. One should never consider the spiritual master an ordinary human being, even though the members of the spiritual master's family may think of him as such. Meditation and other processes of austerity are useful only if they help in advancement toward Krishna consciousness. Otherwise, they are simply a waste of time. For those who are not devotees, such meditation and austerity cause fall down. Every householder should be very careful, because even though a householder may try to conquer the senses, he becomes a victim to the association of relatives and falls down. Thus, a grihastha must become a vanaprastha or a sannyasi, live in a secluded place, and be satisfied with food gotten by begging from door to door. He must chant the Omkara mantra or the Hare Krishna mantra. In this way, he will perceive transcendental bliss within himself. After taking sannyas, however, if one returns to grihastha life, he is called a vantasi, which means one who eats his own vomit. Such a person is shameless. A householder should not give up the ritualistic ceremonies, and a sannyasi should not live in society. The sannyasi is agitated by the senses. He is a cheater, influenced by the modes of passion and ignorance. When one assumes a role in goodness by starting philanthropic and altruistic activities, such activities become impediments on the path to devotional service. The best process for advancing devotional service is to abide by the orders of the spiritual master. For only by his direction can one conquer the senses. Unless one is completely Krishna conscious, there is a chance of falling down. Of course, in performing ritualistic ceremonies and other fruitive activities, there are also many dangers at every moment. Fruitive activities have been divided into 12 portions. Because of performing fruitive activities, which are called the path of Dharma, one has to accept the cycle of birth and death. When one takes the path of moksha, or liberation, which is described in Bhagavad Gita as Archana Marga, one can get relief from the cycle of birth and death. The Vedas describe these two paths as Pitri Yana and Deva Yana. One who follows the path of Pitri Yana and Deva Yana are never bewildered, even while in the material body. A monistic philosopher who gradually develops control of the senses understands that the objective of all the different ashrams, the statuses of life, is salvation. One must live and act according to shastras. If one who is performing the Vedic ritualistic ceremonies becomes a devotee, even if he is a grihastha, he can receive the causeless mercy of Krishna. The objective of a devotee is to return home back to Godhead. Such a devotee, even though not performing ritualistic ceremonies, advances in spiritual consciousness by the supreme will of the personality of Godhead. One may actually become successful in spiritual consciousness by the mercy of the devotees. Or one may fall from spiritual consciousness by being disrespectful to devotees. In this regard, Narada Muni narrated the history of how he had fallen from the Gandharva kingdom, how he was born in the Shudra family, and how by serving exalted brahmanas, he became the son of Lord Brahma and was reinstated in his transcendental position. After narrating all these stories, Narada Muni praised the mercy received from the Lord by the Pandavas. Maharaj Yudhisthira, after hearing from Narada, became ecstatic in love of Krishna. And then Narada left that place and returned to his own place. Thus, Shukadeva Goswami, having described various descendants of the daughters of Daksha, ends the seventh canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. So text one has no purport, so we're not going to read it. Narada Muni continued, my dear king, some brahmanas are very much attached to fruitive activities, some attached to austerities and penances, and still others study the Vedic literature. Whereas some, although very few, cultivate knowledge and practice different yogas, especially bhakti yoga. Text 2. Jnana nishtaya devyani. Kavyanyan ya nantyam ichata. Daive cha tad abhavesyad. Itarevya yatariyat hata. Jnana nishtaya. To the impersonalist or the transcendentalist desiring to merge into the Supreme. Deva Yani, to be given in charity. Kavyani, ingredients offered to the forefathers as oblations. Anantyam, liberation from material bondage. Ichita, by a person desiring. Daive, the ingredients we offer to the demigods. Cha, also. Tat abhave, in the absence of such advanced transcendentalists. Syat, it should be done. Itarevya, to others, namely those addicted to fruitive activities. Yata artaha, comparatively or with discrimination. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Person desiring liberation for his forefathers or himself should give charity to a brahmana who adheres to the impersonal monism, jnana nishtha. In the absence of such an advanced brahmana, charity may be given to a brahmana addicted to fruitive activities, karma kanda. Purport. There are two processes by which you get free from material bondage. One involves jnana-kanda and karma-kanda. And the other involves upasana-kanda. Vaishnavas never want to merge into the existence of the Supreme. Rather, they want to be everlastingly servants of the Lord to render loving service unto Him. In this verse, the words anantyam ichita refer to persons who desire to achieve liberation from material bondage and merge into the existence of the Lord. Devotees, however, whose objective is to associate personally with the Lord, have no desire to accept the activities of karmakanda or jnanakanda. For pure devotional service is above both karmakanda and jnanakanda. Anya bilasita shunyam jnana karma niravrita. In pure devotional service, there is not even a pinch of jnana or karma. Consequently, when Vaishnavas distribute charity, they do not need to find a brahmana performing the activities of jnana kanda or karma kanda. The best example in this regard is provided by Advaita Goswami, who after performing the Shraddha ceremony for his father, offered charity to Haridas Thakur, although it was known to everyone that Haridas Thakur was born in a Mohammedan family, not a Brahmanic family, and was not interested in the activities of Jnana Kanda or Karma Kanda. Charity therefore should be given to the first class transcendentalist, the devotee, because the Shastras recommend Muktanam api siddhanam narayana parayana sudurlabha prasantatma Kotishvapi Mahamune. A great sage among many millions who are liberated and perfect in knowledge of liberation. One may be a devotee of Lord Narayan or Krishna. Such devotees who are fully peaceful are extremely rare. The Bhagavatam 6:14.5. A Vaishnava is in a higher position than a Jnani, and therefore Dvaitacharya selected Haridas Thakura to be the person to accept his charity. The Supreme Lord also says, Name Bhaktas Chatura Vedi Mad Bhaktak Swapacha Priyaha Tasmai Devyam Tito Grayam Satcha Pujo Yata Yaham. Even though a person is a very learned scholar of the Sanskrit Vedic literatures, he is not accepted as my devotee unless he is pure in devotional service. However, even though a person is born in a family of dog eaters, he is very dear to me if he's a pure devotee and has no motive in to enjoy frivolous activities or mental speculation. Indeed, all respects should be given to him, and whatever he offers should be accepted. Such devotees are as worshipable as I am. Hari Bhakti Vilas 10:127. Therefore, even if one is not born in a Brahmin family, a devotee, because of his devotion to the Lord, is above all kinds of brahmanas, whether they be karma kanda or jnanakandis. In this regard, it may be mentioned that brahmanas in Vrindavan or karma kandis and jnanakandis sometimes decline to accept invitations to our temple because our temple is known as the Angareji temple, or Anglican temple. But in accordance with the evidence given in the Shastra and the example set by Advaitacharya, we give prasadam to devotees regardless whether they come from India, Europe, or America. It is the conclusion of the Shastras. Instead of feeding many jnanakandis or karmakandi brahmanas, it is better to feed a pure Vaishnava, regardless where he comes from. It is also confirmed in Bhagavad Gita. Pichet sudaracharo bhajante mamananyabhak sadoreva samantavyak samyagvevyasito hi saha. Even if one commits the most abominable actions, if he is engaged in devotional service, he's been considered saintly because he is properly situated. Thus, it does not matter whether a devotee comes from a Brahmin family or a non-Brahmin family. If he is fully devoted to Krishna, he is a sadhu. Person desiring liberation for his forefathers or himself should give charity to a brahmana who adheres to the impersonal monism. In the absence of such an advanced brahmana, charity may be given to a brahmana addicted to fruitive activities, karmakanda. Namo Vishnu Vraya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Tanamane Namaste Saraswatim Deve Gauravani Pracharane Nirvishesha Srimivadi Paskatyate Sadarna. Everyone has to choose a leader. And as soon as we choose a leader, then we perform some kind of sacrifice for the leader. Therefore, Krishna says, Yad yad acharya shestas, tad tad eve taro janaha, siyat pramanam kurute, lokas tad anuvartate. Whatever a great man does, the common men follow in his footsteps, and whatever standards he sets by his exemplary acts, all the world pursues. So in every field, we have to choose a leader. And we should know who's actually a leader, because we're going to get the results of that. Whosever footsteps we follow, that's where we'll wind up. Mahajana yena kata sapanta tarko apratishta shutya vipina. Generally, people are arguing with each other, trying to prove that their point is the best. Tarka Apratishta. But no one ever won, in Kali Yuga especially, no one ever wins an argument. It keeps on going on and on. As a matter of fact, for generations, people could fight, and then they forget what they were fighting over, but they keep on fighting. Shruti Abhibina. And in the scriptures, there are many different conclusions. Even there's one scripture that claims that Ravana is the hero of the Ramayana. So whatever you're looking for, if you want to worship Agni or Chandra or Ravana, there'll be some support in some book. Nisavari Shira Yasyana Bina. And there are many sages, and they all have a different opinion, and they argue with each other. But dharmasya tattvam nihitam guhayam, if we really want to find out what the factual goal of life is, then mahajano yena kata sapanta. Then we have to choose a mahajan. Now, there are mahajans in the mode of ignorance, Ravana, Aranyakashipu, and many contemporaries in the mode of ignorance. And if we choose them as our leader, that's where we're going to go. Wherever they go, that's where we go. Similarly, if we want to make money, we want to increase our sense gratification, there are so many examples of that. So we choose some movie star, some athlete, and we think about them, or we observe them, try to exemplify them, and the result is that eventually we'll become like them. Or at least whatever their destination is, we're surely going to go to their destination with them. And there are those in the mode of goodness. Welfare workers, social workers, ecologists, humanitarians. And that's what we'll become. But we have to take birth again. Whoever leader we choose in the modes of material nature means that we have to take birth and find and suffer or so-called enjoy whatever the situation that they lead us to. But dharmasya tattvam nihitam guhayam, the best thing for Ladmar says is that we should choose someone who's spiritual, who's transcendental, who's a devotee of Krishna. And therefore Prabhupada has opened centers around the world and put devotees there. Now, not every devotee is equally advanced, but surely there's devotees who are more advanced than we are in some field, in some way or another. Not that they can sing better, or they can dance better, or they know more slokas than we are, but they're actually advanced in the good qualities of a devotee. So, if we want to develop the good qualities, which is makes us eligible to become Krishna conscious, then we have to see the good qualities in others. If we can't see anyone has any good qualities, everyone is exactly on the same level as I am, if not below, then how can we make any progress? So someone we have to see has more better qualities than we do, and the most advanced devotees are those who can properly instruct us who has the more advanced qualities. Not that the most advanced devotee is one who says, I have all the good qualities, only follow me, and everyone else is inferior to me, so they're useless. No, the advanced devotee says, sees the good qualities in others and instructs his followers how to also see the good qualities in others and work in such a way as to obtain those good qualities. Then one will actually become Krishna conscious eventually. Otherwise, there's no other path. If we only see the bad qualities in others, then that's what we'll develop. All the bad qualities that others have. And if we see the good qualities in others, then we'll obtain those good qualities if we work in such a way as to acquire them. Therefore, even in the realm of different levels, even there are persons who are, from the material point of view, higher or lower. Everyone is not the same. even to find a Brahmana, and a Brahmana is practically impossible in Kali Yuga. So if we find a Brahmana engaged in karmakanda activities, we shouldn't start thinking this guy's a rascal. Because he's obtained that position after many lifetimes of practice. And what to speak of a Gyanakandi. So they should be respected, but not necessarily intimately associated with. On the other hand, if one can find a Brahmana who's actually a Vaishnava and seriously engaged in devotional service, then one should try to associate with such a devotee and if they're, and see the good qualities so that one can serve them and acquire them. Simply by serving the devotees, then one acquires all their good qualities. And by criticizing devotees, we acquire all their bad qualities, if they actually have any, or we acquire whatever imaginary bad qualities, whatever our, we think the bad qualities are, like Ramachandra Puri. He went around to all the Vaishnavas finding their bad qualities, but actually that's what he was developing. He was just imagining bad qualities, but by seeing bad qualities in others, that's what he was, even if they didn't have them, he was acquiring them. He even saw bad qualities in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, claiming that because he came early in the morning, there were some ants on the ground. Therefore, he concluded that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was secretly at night eating sweets. And therefore, he couldn't really take advantage of the association of either the devotees, what to speak of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So in this chapter, we may find many different personalities. So we should have such discrimination. It's not that we should see everyone except for if you're engaged in Krishna consciousness as exactly the same. There are differentiations. But we understand that everyone is benefited if they're on a progressive path that will lead them to devotional service. And ultimately, if they come to devotional service, they have the greatest chance of reaching actual perfection in this life. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions? You're second in line. You're second. He's first.
Hare Krishna. So I want to ask, in bad and good persons, we have to see only good qualities for development, a better vision of life, or something like
bad
that.
Bad and good people?
Yeah.
What do you mean by who's good and who's bad?
I mean... In everyone, we should only find good qualities for
not
our development.
If you find good qualities in a materialist, you're doomed. You can see, in relationship to Krishna consciousness, how some people are better than others. But we're not, you know, therefore, it's all right to try to find some good qualities in others, but we should not necessarily try to follow their, well, we should not think that the materialists are good because ultimately everything they're doing is bad. So we have to have that vision also. They may be better than others, but because they're material, and therefore we can differentiate between one activity and the other. But generally speaking, in this age, everyone is engaged in activities simply in the pursuit of sense gratification without any reference for scripture. Therefore, in one sense, we can see that some people have a little bit of qualities in the mode of goodness, and that should be appreciated. At least they're better than others. But ultimately, we should understand without Krishna consciousness that they're hovering on the mental platform. And those good qualities that they have for now will not last unless they take up either a process of self-realization or they take up Krishna consciousness. But since the process of self-realization are not very much evident or available, therefore people can only maintain good qualities if they take up the path of devotional service in this age. Otherwise they'll be influenced by the lower modes of material nature, and after a while those good qualities will disappear.
Okay, thank you.
question is what's the default, I mean the principle, like manner of behavior also amongst devotees. Like we have I don't know how to say. Kako se reče bunton? Etiketa?
Vaishnava etiquette.
I mean, there is like a principle bunton, we say, etiquette, like in, how do you say, human behavior.
Yeah.
Should we neglect this among devotees, because we are devotees, or...
What can you give me an example of what you're talking about?
Like an example is opening a door to someone doesn't go like spiritually, but just like a.
Well, why are you opening the door? Because you're serving. If you're not seeing, thinking, I'm serving a Vaishnava who's engaged in Krishna service. Then you maybe, if you're outside, for instance, and you open the door to the bank for a bank robber, then you get part of the credit of robbing the bank. You've assisted him in robbing the bank. And therefore you'll get a reaction for it.
Yeah.
So we have to have some kind of vision. We just don't blindly follow. We serve the devotees, but because we serve them because they're engaged in Krishna service, and therefore that activity is spiritual.
I don't even know how to make a question properly. So,
well, if you just follow ordinary etiquette, then what is your vision? Follow me. I'm a good person, therefore I do this. Unless we add Krishna consciousness to it, it's mundane. So we're not just doing things, we're doing things with a vision, with a consciousness, with an understanding, with a certain mood, and that makes it spiritual. And if you think, well, you know, why don't I just act like a, you know, nice person? Everyone should just be nice. But nice people are better than being creating a problem, conflict. Better to act nice. But acting nice won't advance us in devotional service. We have to act nice in Krishna consciousness. So we should act nice, but we should act nice in Krishna consciousness. That's why we act nice. Krishna is nice to all the devotees because they're devotees. Therefore he comes and he protects his devotees. But he also comes, and those who are not nice, then he vanquishes them. So Krishna is our example. He's always in Krishna consciousness. So we should follow Krishna's example. So Prabhupada said a Vaishnava is a gentleman. We should always be gentlemen, but we should be Vaishnavas at the same time. We should have a spiritual vision. And if we can't have a spiritual vision, at least we should be nice to the right people. We shouldn't be nice to the wrong people. Someone's robbing a bank, and on the way out he asks, can you drive a car? And we say, yeah, I always help people, I always like to... Can you drive me away? I'm in a hurry. Sure, why not? I'm always nice to people. What are all these policemen following us? Oh, anyhow, you're such an attractive person, maybe just go a little faster.
Don't worry.
Don't worry. We really appreciate your service. Anything else? Thank you very much, Granthara Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.